This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Good morning, church. How are we doing today? We got all the little birds lined up on the pew over there. I just love that. There's all the little birds back there just enjoying the sunshine. So glad you're here today. As Zach said, if I've not met you yet, I'll be over there at the East Christmas tree to give you a little gift and welcome you to Restoration. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2, if you would. That's where we're heading this morning as we continue our Father Christmas series. It's a chance to kind of peel apart the Christmas story and look at the layers and see the Father's heart in each representation. I want to say something real quickly. This morning, as we were praying upstairs, just had an impression. It kind of connects to what we experienced there during worship. But, you know, the holidays can be a bummer for some people. So we need to be mindful of the people around us. I really had a sense this morning in prayer that there might even be some people here this morning, one or more, who really are struggling with maybe even, you know, serious concerns, like maybe taking their life. We've had a family member of one of the people in our congregation that happened to in the past couple of weeks. So I just want to be aware of that, and I want you to know that one of our family members, one of our families in the church has a family member who made that decision. And so I'm not trying to be a downer at all. I'm trying to be mindful that there's difficulties this time of year. And don't let the enemy rob you. This morning, that word about healing your confidence, that was a word from heaven. We all need our confidence healed in one way or another. So don't let this Christmas season rob you of the joy that the season is representing. The joy that only comes in knowing that sometimes this can suck, right? This can be really bad. But there's always a hope. And that's what Father Christmas series is all about today. So I invite you to come back tonight at 6:30. We're having our regular time of worship and prayer we call Sanctuary. And especially if you need some confidence healed, this is a time where we just soak in this awesome worship. Did you enjoy Rhonda Adams this morning on violin? So good. I'm not going to let her leave. She's going to be chained to a pillar so that she has to stay for tonight. Now she's going to leave right now. She's around us leaving. We love to spend time just soaking in the presence of God, and that's what we do tonight at 6:30. So come back and be with us. It's a great way to just sow into what God is doing right now in this season. Did I tell you to turn to Luke chapter 2? Did I tell you that already? Okay. Luke chapter 2 is where we're going. I also want to mention to you that in about a month, we've got a very special event coming to St. Joseph that we're privileged to host. We call it a Transformation Weekend. You know that prophetically, we've been told that this is a house where people will come to learn how to transform their city, and we get the chance to experience that on January 13th and 14th with Rabbi Kurt Landry. And I hope you can appreciate what a huge opportunity and privilege this is for us. Rabbi Kurt is internationally known. I can't even tell you how many thousands of people, you know, live stream services from House of David. Krista and I are going down this week to experience their Hanukkah service. That'll be kind of fun. But Rabbi's coming to this house to minister to us. And I'm so, so excited for what that means as we kick off a new year. And what it means for our city, it's a real privilege. And so I strongly encourage you to be thinking of who you should invite. We'll be doing some promotion online, but the best form of promotion is you all. So let people know what's coming, and not just January 13th and 14th, but throughout the holidays here. We've got our invite tickets. I think, is there a few left out there, Randy? A few tickets left in the bucket this morning out there? A few left. So grab those invitation tickets. That's for Christmas Eve. We want people to experience the restoration God has for their life. And we're privileged to be able to host something that brings a tangible expression of God's love for people. Rabbi wants to particularly focus on healing when he's here. not just physical healing, but including physical healing, but emotional, spiritual, mental, any way that the enemy's robbed people. God's a restoring God. Amen? It's what he does. He's in the restoration business. So we get to kick off the new year that way. Super excited about that. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, as we make our way through the Christmas story today. Another one of those sort of overlooked, but I think very significant characters in the Nativity. Starting in verse 8, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news." Say good news. "That will bring great joy." Say great joy. Good news, great joy. Sounds good to me. "To all people, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." Got to realize what a big deal this was, because for years and years and years, people of Israel were waiting for this, and here comes the big announcement. "And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby." That also had to be like, what? A baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth. What? Lying in a manger. You can't be serious. But to back up the angel's words, suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, as if one angel wasn't enough. Now we have the armies of heaven. How many times have you seen the armies of heaven show up in Scripture? Not many times that you get a whole host. And this is one of those times. They were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem." You think? Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. So not only is it a unique thing that a whole bunch of angels show up in the sky, but I want you to think about who they showed up to. You know, we learned this last year as we were looking at the Christmas story, that the shepherds were not exactly the top rung in the social ladder. In fact, they were like the bottom rung. They were the lowest of the low. They would have been the people that others would have just kind of scurried past. People that had no hope in life, that had no future other than tending sheep. In my research this year, I uncovered something different that I thought was interesting. Can't prove it, but it makes sense that because of their proximity to Jerusalem, Bethlehem is not that far. It's just like you could throw a rock and hit it, right? It's just close by. It's very possible that these shepherds might have been the ones that tended the flocks of sheep, the sheep that were used for the sacrifice at the temple in Jerusalem. It would make a lot of sense. So if you think about it in that context, isn't it interesting? And it makes sense now why the armies of angels would show up to announce to the keepers of the flock that presented the human sacrifice, not human sacrifice, but human effort to atone for sin through the sacrifice of a sheep. Now the Lamb of God was coming on the scene to take away the sins of the world. That's a big deal. That's big news. No wonder the angels were all excited about that. It's like, leave those sheep alone, okay? We got a better deal coming. And that's so significant. And to me, too, the response of the shepherds is very significant. These lowest of the low, not only did they respond and say, "Yeah, I'm going to go check this out," but then what did they do? They told everybody. And their testimony resulted in this news being spread abroad throughout the country. I just think that's crazy cool. Today we're going to talk about what it's like from heaven's perspective, from God's heart, to look out for those who some would consider the least of these. I believe these shepherds represent the forgotten of society. And yet Jesus doesn't forget. He remembers. And this group of people were highly favored and very blessed to be able to spread, to be the first ones to spread this good news. This morning, we've got a special lady with us. You've already heard her musical gifts, but beyond that, Rhonda Adams is also a regional manager for an organization called Care Portal. And you've heard us talk about Care Portal before. We've been involved with this ministry for a number of months now. They're relatively new in the city, but it's an opportunity we have as a church to partner with other churches in the city, working together with social service agencies to think about caring for what maybe in society's minds might be the least of these, but who God has totally not forgotten and wants to highly favor and bless through us. Would you welcome Rhonda Adams back to the platform this morning? Take it, Miss Rhonda.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me. So excited to be here. So we go way back to us praying for Will, and we passed along his preemie diapers around in our congregation at Harmony Vineyard. Yes, clean. It was just an example of how tiny he really was. And so that's how far we go back.
How many?
Yeah, 22 years. Woo! So that's exciting. So thank you for letting me come and share. So we're talking about Care Portal. What I love, I wanted to go back to the shepherds and all of that. Have you heard seen on social media a few years ago, this was kind of big, if Jesus were born today, and what would it look like in the social media world now with technology? What I just think that's a very amusing. You know, texting, you know, Mary would be texting her mom to tell her that she was in labor, and, you know, the, you know, videos and the, all of those things, just how it would spread. It's that's what comes back to my mind here with our social media days that we're in. So my role is regional manager, and we want to connect churches. We want to engage churches in what we call Care Portal. And Care Portal primarily is a way to connect those hurting families and children around you to the church. The caseworkers for Department of Social Services would go into homes, they would investigate, they would connect those families, go back to their office, they would go onto our website and put in a request, and that request then hits the area churches, the point people to those churches. And then that point person is going to send out an email to your congregation. So some of you probably have already received some of those, but hopefully by the end of the day, more of you will start receiving some of those emails. So it's super exciting that the state has allowed the church to enter into this space. Let me repeat that again. Super exciting that the state has let the church enter this space and actually go into homes and take items and form a relationship with these families, if possible. I think we're going to just go towards a video, and this video is about a young woman who has actually come from foster care. You'll see that mentioned in this video. And so it's about her and her daughter, and she was one that was identified as one in crisis, and she needed some help. She needed a crib. And this is a video that shares the response of the family, the man and wife who went and delivered that crib. So it just tells a story, and we just want to show that right now.
We often think we have to go to somewhere around the world to really meet needs, but you can drive 5 miles away from your house, and there are needs there. And so the Care Portal helps tear down that wall between need and life, you know, so that you know how to enter into someone's world and meet a tangible need. And that's what we're called to do.
I was struggling to pay rent and, like, picked up a second job and just trying to do everything I can to get my daughter back. So I was like, I need to get her a crib as soon as possible.
The need came through. Someone needed a crib. A girl named Kayla needed a crib, and we said, this is it, let's go meet it. So we brought the crib to Kayla and set it up, and then when we were in her apartment, Jennifer looked around and said, can we get you anything else? And so over just the course of 2 to 3 months, we kept bringing furniture over as we found it and bought it and formed a relationship, and it's been such a blessing. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, what do you say? She reminds me of my own daughter. You know, you have these perceptions of what this is going to be like, but when you meet somebody face to face and you see they're trying and they love God, I mean, that's just a blessing.
It's not just a need, it's a face, you know, it's a person, it's a whole person. Everywhere I went to look for something, I was always thinking about her and her child and thinking how they were doing. So it opens up your heart.
When I was moving from Washington, I had to give away all my stuff that I had. My foster mom had encouraged me to just give it all away because God will bless you with all the new stuff. He'll provide the new stuff for you. And he totally did. Like, he filled my apartment through them.
I mean, that's what Jesus is about. Is how do we get out and meet the needs of others with compassion and with mercy and with love? Sometimes it's physical, but sometimes it's just being with people.
As we were leaving, she gave me this card. She said, it couldn't have been cheap or easy for you guys, and this is the phrase I love, but you still felt I was worth doing this for. And that means so much to me. And that's what we need to be about in our communities. We need to show the love of Christ and say, you know what, brother, you're worth it. And sister, you're worth it. And Jesus says you're worth it.
The greatest adventures I've had in life have been when I'm giving myself away. There's always fear, right? We fear looking foolish. We fear being misunderstood. We fear being taken advantage of. But the reality is we find our life by giving it away. And the care portal is an avenue to give your life away in small ways and in big ways. And that brings joy. That really brings a lot of joy to who we are.
Isn't it? Just the fact that they were willing to go take a crib and had no idea as to the impact, you know, really reciprocal impact that they would have with that woman and her child and the relationship that's formed and all of those things. Now, that's a great story. It really is. Some stories don't end like that. Just to be honest and truthful, some things are way more messy and way harder, okay? So, but I wanted to reference, if you want to pull your Bibles open, or I can just read this from James 1, 27. It says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted from the world. So it doesn't say when it's easy. It doesn't say when it's comfortable. It doesn't say when it's convenient, does it? It says in their distress. And so many times that means in their mess, in the thick of things, when they need it the most. I also wanted to reference the passage in Luke 10, which talks about the Samaritan. And we all know the story, but envision a man or a woman or a child at the side of the road that has been beaten and hurt and in need. And you've got three people that could have possibly responded to that need at the time. And we'll mention Tim here as the priest. So he's on his way down the road and sees this person. And he actually goes to the other side of the street to avoid, to not engage, to not have contact with. And then there's the second person, the Levite, who we'll put Matt in that role, that minister of the worship. And he does the same thing. He doesn't want to engage. He wants to walk right past by. He wants to get to his meeting. He wants to do what's on, you know, his schedule, his agenda. Many times we don't allow the time in our schedule, in our life, to encounter those around us in need. I'm guilty of it. I know we're all guilty of it. But then there was the Samaritan. And the Samaritan decided, I'm going to meet that need. I'm going to give my time and my money to help. And that was where Jesus said, And this was in the passage. You had a man asking about what, sorry, my vision is not a little, not what it used to be. This man is asking, teacher, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord says, well, it's written in the law, and says, did you read it? Do you know it? And he says, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. But then when you take time to actually go deeper in that, he asks, well, who's my neighbor? Well, many times we think our neighbor is just the person who lives right next door. And that can be the case, but many times it's who you are encountering along the way. And that could be someone you don't even know. It could be someone from Kansas City. It could be somebody that's you've encountered in the line of Walmart. It could be anyone. It's your fellow man, right? And I just love the fact that, you know, he actually took time to ask that deeper question. Who is my neighbor? And of course, then the Lord, you know, Jesus elaborated on all of that story. And so he says, you know, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him, Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So that's what we're all about. We want to go and do likewise. So I wanted to pull up a copy of what we call the grid in Care Portal. And I know many of you are already walking sometimes in this space, and we've got columns and we've got rows making up a grid. And so the columns are the areas that we've kind of identified are the target areas that we as Care Portal want to engage the local churches in. So number one is prevention. That's keeping a family together without them hopefully not being removed from their homes. We want to prevent them from child services having to pull them. They want to keep that family intact is what we call it. Then there's the foster care column, kids that have been removed, but then it's also kids that are being reunified with their parents after they've met the goals and obtained the things that they need to obtain to make a healthy, safe environment. Then there's the adoption column. And there's the transition column, which means it's a youth that's aging out of the home, a youth or aging out of the system that doesn't have a home, that might not have any support system, that may have never been adopted or in a healthy placement, which is a home that has been loving on them. And then we've got the tiers, tier one, two, three. Tier one is physical, so cribs, beds, utility assistance, items for babies, gas cards, bus passes, any of those things that families are struggling with to help maintain a normal home environment. Tier two is relational. This is where it gets even more messy. Walking alongside, being there with that person in their struggles, in their midst, helping, doing like mentoring, tutoring, childcare, transportation, any of those things, anytime that we're having a relational interaction on an ongoing basis, this is what we call tier two. And then tier three is actually a family, opening up your doors as a family, opening up your home to a child in need or children in need. This could be respite care, which means I'm just giving the foster parents a break because it is hard work to you know, take on a group of kids and say, you know, I'm going to open my home. So we have churches that develop wraparound teams and all of those kind of things for people that are actually embracing foster care in their churches. Adoption, things like that where, you know, you're opening up your home. We have a program actually that's starting in 2018, we hope, is called Safe Families. And what happens is if you're identified as a safe family and you want to become that, it isn't foster care. It's could be up to a 6-week time period where your family is opening up their doors for a prevention need. So someone that either the state or a school or a hospital or some other kind of nonprofits might identify, you know, this mom needs to go to drug rehabilitation or she just needs a break for 6 weeks because if she doesn't, there's going to be a neglect and abuse possibly that comes. And so this is kind of a transition place where kiddos can come while the parents get healthy, but they're not actually, you know, in the system having children removed and all of that goes with it. So we're excited about that. And we'll be, you know, giving you all information more about that if you feel like that maybe a tier three opportunity would fit your family. So we just want to be here to engage you as the church. We want to engage other churches. And I want to share with you a amazing request that came through just this last week or two over Care Portal and what has happened since. So I'm going to read just a little bit here. This family, this is the actual description from the children's worker that sent this in. It says, this family is a family of eight. Mother and five children are living with mother's sister. One child is a newborn, and she or he is currently down at Children's Mercy. It may be released at the end of the week or around December 1st. The family does not have the money to go visit the newborn on a daily basis due to finances. A couple of gas cards would be really helpful. The father is living with the family. The entire family has moved in with a sister, so they are needing some additional groceries, because as you can imagine, their food bill is astronomical. The biggest need right now is a bassinet for the baby that will be coming home. And then it goes on to say, hey, we could utilize clothing, things like that for this family. So there's a lot of need in this request, but our God is bigger. And the churches of St. Joe amazingly stepped up for this family. So here is what happened and what can happen when churches collaborate. So Wyatt Park Christian helped with the clothes from their clothing closet. Restoration had a family donate clothes. Community Christian gave bassinet sheets. Wellspring provided lots of baby items. First Lutheran provided $200 worth of gas cards. McCarthy Baptist donated a stroller. Brookdale gave a bassinet. I'm keeping on going here. These are all the churches in St. Joe that are doing this. The Edge gave food and formula, and Rosendale Church, clear up in Andrew County, is adopting the family for Christmas. Woo! It's exciting. So exciting. And of course, as you can imagine, that takes a lot of administrative work and volunteer work to pull all that together. So we need you in that space. However, it doesn't stop there. The caseworker that actually put this request in, this was her very first time she's used Care Portal. She didn't know if she'd get a response. She didn't know how much the family would get as far as the items. She was blown away. She was in tears when she saw all of these things flooding in. And so what an impact that you all are making, the churches are making, on the family, but also on the state child welfare workers. It's just astounding. And then it goes on even in a relationship piece. So this is from Sam. She's a coordinator and a point person for Wellspring Church. She says, Rhonda, I'm having lunch with this mom next week. She's so stinking sweet. You have to know Sam. She loves that phrase, stinking sweet. Tonight, we have been texting, and she's so appreciative. She started to open up to me and tell me about her story and things that have happened with her family. Lots of life circumstances and little family support have added up. I'm praying God will continue to let our relationship grow so she will have support, a support system from our Care Portal churches, and selfishly, me, because I just love her heart. She said tonight, I've never had this kind of help, and with all the stress and struggles that's happened this year, it has helped us tremendously. So what a testimony of these churches coming together, stepping up, working together. We have monthly, try to have monthly meetings with our Church Point people, and just the community that's building there between them. I mean, they love these families. They rally together to do whatever they can. And these are busy folks. These are people that have full-time jobs. They have young kids. They have life stuff happening. But they're willing to take the time to give of themselves. I was talking earlier that about the James 1:27 and how it says, sometimes I'll read it. I was meditating on it the other day, and I said, what if we said, you know, to keep ourselves pure and undefiled from the world, it's because we're helping widows and orphans. Because once it gets from us, as far as, you know, we're laying down our own junk, we're laying down our own flesh and desires, and we're wanting to really pour out of ourselves, you know, we're not thinking of all that stuff. We're in the mode of, I want to be about my Father's business, and how can I do that, okay? So there's lots and lots and lots of opportunities, and so we need more people to volunteer just within your church to say, I want to take that next crib. I want to deliver that next bed. I want to go bake cookies and bring it down to, you know, social services and love on those social workers. I want to go to the school social worker meeting and provide breakfast to them because I value them and I know they are doing hard, hard things. And so we need just more engagement. So that's something where, you know, on your slip of paper, you've got a place to write your email. And so we want to utilize that for Care Portal, and you'll be getting the you know, the emails for the requests that come through. So, but there's more levels of engagement. So one would be, we would love a core team in your church to help wrap around this structure for your church. And so Tim will share a little bit more about that, I think. So you might want to become a mentor and be that tier two person or tutor or provide supervising visits for biological families to visit their children at Children's Division office. There's just so many different opportunities. And if, above all else, you know, you can't do anything else, but when you get that email, you can pray for that family, that's huge, to pray for them. And to know, you know, somebody else, our motto is every church doing a little, so you're not going to take every single request, but another church is, and another family is going to be helping to walk alongside. So pray for that. Pray for that connection. Pray for the Holy Spirit to just make a way when there seems that there is no way. You know, there's huge needs sometime that come through, but by the orchestration of the Holy Spirit, He just makes it all work, and it's just so amazing. And yeah, it takes time, and yeah, it can be a little messy, but you know what? That's okay. It's okay. We got to press through. So I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Let's give Rhonda a hand this morning. We've had the privilege of watching this develop, and through our partnership with other churches, watched this kind of go from its infancy to where it is today, and so excited to see more churches come on board. Rhonda said earlier that we're believing for about 8 more churches in 2018 to add to the 12.
Yeah,
so it's growing, and it's awesome. And what it's provided for us is an avenue. We have a heart to help, but two things that Care Portal brings to us. One is it brings us opportunity through these Division of Social Service people, and that those needs are vetted. So we know that we're giving to legitimate needs and that there's some monitoring going on. You understand what I mean? You know, because you know, we've all had situations. We get calls every week for needs at a church, and this is so helpful to have a process in place that we can just tap into. And then when there's a need, right now Debbie King is the one that's been kind of monitoring this for us. And if you know Debbie's situation, she can't even come to church because of her husband's, you know, physical situation. And so we really need a support team around Debbie. And so I felt like having Rhonda come today, on the day we're talking about the shepherds and the least of these, to present that opportunity to you all. And here's what my heart is, that in 2018, I want to become more effective as a church in meeting needs in our community. So what we can do now is bring several of these opportunities together, Care Portal being just one. You also know we sponsor an apartment for Hillcrest Transitional Housing. That was as a result of our desire to help people that are either homeless or at risk of becoming so. So we furnished an apartment, and we've had a number of people come through the program. Some have graduated, some have not, because they didn't follow the rules. They got asked to leave. Aren't you glad that there's some rules to follow and some expectations? But we've had some great wins out of that too. If you know Cody Widener, she's a success story from our apartment, who now is married to an awesome man of God and has gotten her life straightened up, and her testimony is powerful. And it's just an example of what can happen when we work with agencies like Hillcrest, like The Crossing, and we put those rugs out the last few weeks for them to help support what they do to minister to the homeless here in downtown. So many things I could mention. We're going to put those under the umbrella of a compassion team this year, so that ideally one person on that team is helping stay in touch with these different ministries, and the group then together help bring the needs to us as a congregation. Then if you have a desire to participate, then you can get in the pipeline and help. As Rhonda said, either deliver a bed or go purchase a bed. Krista and I love to keep our eye out when we go to like the Restore, places like that, finding things, great deals. I see it all the time on some of these swap meets I'm a part of on Facebook. So I'm always looking for bargains, right? Because I know someone's going to need that. So that slip of paper that you got today, some of you might have gotten it. It's the one sheet that we give out. If you didn't get one, just raise your hand and we'll be glad to serve you with that. But there's a place on there for you to give us your name and your email. This is also a way for us to keep in touch with you this winter, should there be any inclement weather causing changes in our service times. You can get a text alert that way, so you'll know immediately what's going on that way. But it's also just the way that we communicate with people. It's called the bridge, and that's how we stay connected throughout the week. I love this opportunity to be a part of Care Portal. I also love the other organizations we get to touch base with. One of those organizations is represented here today. If you were with us out on Riverside, low these many years ago, you remember a cute little gal who we adopted as our spiritual daughter. She was a part of the Alpha Omega sorority, and she would bring a whole row full of young ladies, whether they wanted to be there or not. Sade brought them there. So would you say welcome home to Sade Dupriest this morning? Love Sade. And what's been going on with you and Campus Crusade, now called Crew? Sade is our representative at Missouri Western, as well as UMKC. Any other campuses you cover?
So we have 31 schools in our scope, but we're only present on 8 of those campuses because we don't have enough people on our team. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
So what happens with Crew? What are you guys doing?
So I graduated back in 2011, and immediately after I graduated, I went through this battle of whether or not I wanted to work with Crew, because I didn't want to, but the Lord was calling me, and I kept denying it.
That doesn't
obviously
work.
I lost that battle. Yeah, I lost that battle. I would love to share the story with you. But I volunteered. I applied, and I didn't get accepted, which was shocking. I was like, Lord, you tricked me. I told you I didn't want to do this, and then I don't get accepted. But the reason I didn't get accepted is because you can only have so much debt, and like the cap is here, and I was like way, 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 way above that cap. And so they was like, Sade, we want you. Your references were outstanding. Stick around. So I volunteered for 2 years. And then another couple came along, was like, hey, you should apply to be part-time. I was like, no, you know I got debt. And they were like, no, the amount of debt you have when you're part-time doesn't matter. So I was like, okay. So I applied, and I served as part-time for 3 years. And in March of this year, I would meet with regional staff, and they always ask me, how are you doing with your debt? I was like, I'm getting there. My student loan debt is still really high. Praise the Lord, I paid off my car, but my student loan debt was really high. And I was like, I don't care how long it takes, but like this is where I know the Lord wants me to be, and I'm not going to give up. And so in March, I got a call that an anonymous donor wanted to pay enough to get me to that cap so I could join full-time this summer.
Awesome.
Thank you. I was commissioned on July 14th, and it was amazing. But I work with Crew Campus, and we reach out to college students, and we use a threefold strategy, and it's win, build, and send. And winning is introducing students into a relationship with Him. And one of my favorite winning stories is about a young lady named Allie who actually went to Missouri Western. She was involved in Alpha Omega, the Christian sorority that I brought all the girls from, and she came to Crew every single week, but she was not a Christian. We prayed for her the entire fall semester. Every single week, two of my teammates, Dana and Rachel, who came out to Missouri Western, they would say, like, yo, Allie is so close to entering a relationship with the Lord. Each week, we don't think she can get any closer, and she does. So all the fall semester, we prayed and prayed. She didn't accept Christ. Spring semester comes around. We got all the way to spring break, and she decides to go to Panama City, Florida, which is spring break central. All the college students go there to party. Well, Crew, we send college students there to get training in evangelism, and then we send them out to share the gospel with the drunk students on the beach. Yeah. So
get them while they're drunk. That's
yes.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they were praying with this young man who decided to receive Christ. And as they were praying for him, Allie said the Lord began to do something in her heart. Mm. When they got done praying for him, she told her friends, hey, guys, like, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. So they prayed for her as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really great. So after we introduce them into a relationship with the Lord, we want to build them up. And so we do that through discipleship and Bible studies. And this last year, I had the opportunity to disciple two young ladies named Lauren and Jen. Lauren, we just celebrated her 1 year of being a believer in April. We, like, threw her this surprise birthday party and everything. It was really fun. Yes. And I remember one of the very first times I met with her, she goes, Sharday, like, before I knew the Lord, life was so hard. And now that I know him, life is still hard, but you can, like, give him all of your problems and he will take care of them. Like, you don't That's even right. have to do anything. And she's like, I just want to tell everybody that. And I'm like, yes, Lauren, this is what we're supposed to be doing.
That's good.
So then Jen, she is a Vietnamese-American student, and her parents are first generation. So I started discipling her, and, like, at the end of the semester, like, she was like, Shardae, I've never heard the Bible like that before. I've never learned to apply it to my life. But during the middle of the semester, I started encouraging her to disciple someone else, and she met this young lady named Mi, who's from Vietnam, but we call her Alita because she said that we don't say her name right, which I thought I was saying it right. She started discipling her, and I remember Mi's first time coming to our weekly crew meeting. Jen comes up to me and goes, oh my gosh, Sharday, she came. I'm like, okay, well, go talk to her. She's like, I'm going to go talk to her. I'm like, okay, go. Well, they started meeting weekly, and they just developed this wonderful relationship. And since Mi or Alita was first... like, this was her first year in America. She had a lot of trouble translating. It was just really beautiful to see Jen, like, whisper to her in the middle of Bible study, like, this is what they're saying in their language. Mm-hmm. And lastly, after we introduce them in a relationship with Christ, we build them up. We want to send them out. And so this summer, all across the world, just from UMKC alone, we sent 4 students to Athens, Greece, and we sent 1 student to Ecuador. And then there was even a couple of students who did a summer mission in Kansas City. So a lot of times people think that when you're doing missions, you have to go overseas. But there's people here in America, Kansas City, St. Joe, who need to know about Jesus mm-hmm. as well. And so right now I'm in the process of raising support. I'm at 43% of my goal. And I am hoping to find 20 people or 20 individual families who will come alongside of me and give to me monthly or give to the ministry monthly. You can give $50 a month, $100 a month, or even $5 a month. While I'm raising support, I'm not on campus. I really want to get back there to continue meeting with Lauren and Jen and other students. There's one girl that I work with at a nursing home, and she's a struggling mother, but I talk to her about Crew all the time and just how much I love these college students. And she's like, Sharday, I love your passion and I love what you do. I want to give you $5 a month. So, like, every little thing helps. But I will be here after church. I have giving cards, or if you want to meet with me one-on-one to talk about the battle that I lost with the Lord when I said I wasn't going to work with Crew, but I've done it for 5 years and now I'm doing it full-time. I would love to schedule a time to meet with you. And our founder was Bill Bright, and one of my favorite quotes that he said is, if you reach the campus today, you can reach the world tomorrow. Like, sure. Just think about all the thousands of college students who graduate every single year. If they go to live missionally, whether they become missionaries or they are doctors or teachers or whatever, if they live missionally, like, they are going to be world
That's
changers.
Right. So, yeah. That's so good. Thank you, Sharday. Love this girl. Very good. So I had Sharday come because obviously we're talking about these outreach opportunities we have as a church, including Care Portal, Crew, which I'm just so glad that Sharday is there representing us at Missouri Western. Sharday's had me down at UMKC to speak to the students. I just love that opportunity. I told her earlier that we are attracting more college students now in this building than we did when we were out there right beside the campus. I don't understand that, but there's something special going on here at Restoration, so we want that connection. So that's what I would like for us to be able to do, is to support not only Care Portal, but Hillcrest, Crew, the different things that we have relationship with. So you know we love Sharday, we love Rhonda, so these aren't like faceless names that we're throwing money at. They're real relationships that we can walk with and keep in touch with. So one of my ideas, in addition to asking you if you would become a member of this core team that is helping administrate these different avenues of outreach, but also had an idea. It's kind of a risky one, but I'm a risky guy. So this year we're initiating something different, and I'm calling it the Big Give. The Big Give. The Big Give is going to happen on December 24th, which happens to be Christmas Eve, right? It's a Sunday that we'll be having services here. On the 24th, we're going to receive an offering that we're calling the Big Give. And as I prayed about this and I began to process with the Lord, I felt like he said this. He said, don't just tithe off the Big Give. I want you to give it all to these compassion ministries that means so much to us as a church. And I believe as we do that, we're modeling what I believe the heart of God is for our city and for the world. This year, we've had some amazing opportunities, you know, going to Togo. I expect Chris and I will be going back to Togo this year. I know we're going back to the DR this summer. It's like, it's not just missions out there. It's work here in the city, our work with Humboldt. And yes, I know Humboldt will be closing, unfortunately. I hate it that our partner school will be going away next fall. However, guess where those students are going? Lindbergh, which is just a couple more blocks up the street. So we're still going to have to have an opportunity to impact those families. So all these ministries, this year we've helped Francine go to All Nations, All Tribes DC in Washington. We invested in her. Quick story, Zach recorded a testimony from Fran that we've put on Facebook to capture some of the things that happened in Washington. That little video has had almost 1,200 views from people all over the world, 3,000 impressions, reaches. It's like that thing that we put together seems like a small thing, but it has such an impact, just like with Care Portal, just like with Crew. We also, this year, invested in Israel through House of David, through Kurt Landry Ministries. We were able to plant an olive tree in the Kings Valley, as well as provide meals for Holocaust survivors. They're getting old now, right? These are folks in the nursing home, providing meals for them, and then food boxes for soldiers who don't have a family. So that blesses the heart of God. And that's what the Big Give is for. So December 24th, we'll probably also receive gifts on the 31st, since that's a week later, and it's New Year's Eve. But I felt like that would be a way that we can take that money, set it aside, and use it to support these ministries in the new year. Does that excite you? Are you pumped about that? The Big Give, all right? So I want you to be praying about that. I will be giving you more details as we go along. But this morning, I want to wrap up with this scripture. And I was just looking, as ladies were speaking, I'm looking at this picture on the wall here, which is of a what? What's the... A shepherd. Interesting. And we were talking about shepherds today. This painting, if you don't know, was sitting in the attic of this building when we first got here. It was just sitting there leaning against the wall collecting dust. And I talked to the owner. I said, Chuck, what is that? He said, I have no idea. It's just always been here. I'm like, really? Kind of a little breadcrumb, I think. And the fact that it represents this individual who some might consider the least of these, but to whom armies of angels revealed themselves to bring glad tidings of great joy, good news. I have to wonder today, how many of the people that aren't here with us needed to have their conscience or their confidence healed today, you know? The message is for them too. And every life that we can impact through these opportunities, whether it's Care Portal or Hillcrest or Humboldt or Crew, that's why we're here, to continue to spread that message, to let people know that there's hope. And I think there's a reason why that was in our building. And I think that's a call that we have. I was in a pastor's meeting this week, and one of the pastors said, and it kind of took me by surprise, he goes, I just really love how your church ministers to the people who are like the least, and maybe other churches wouldn't be as open to. I'm like, you're right, that is who we are. Absolutely, that's who we are. I was glad somebody else recognized that. But I know we've only just scratched the surface. And it's so important to the heart of God. I'm going to read from Matthew 25. This matters to Jesus. It really does. It's not just to be nice at Christmas time. It's the heart of God. And yeah, as Rhonda said, it's messy sometimes. It's not always comfortable or convenient. Sometimes it's downright awkward. And welcome to ministry. And the reality is that heaven is watching our response. And here's what Jesus said. He's talking about the judgment, the coming judgment. Matthew 25, and I'm starting in verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes, how many of you know he's coming, right? He is coming, all right, in his glory, and all the angels with him. Ah, so there's the same crowd that showed up to the shepherds. All the angels are going to come back with Jesus, and then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. And then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the Lord will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. And then the king will turn to those on his left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger. You didn't invite me into your home. I was naked. You didn't give me any clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. And they will reply, Lord. See, they assume they have a relationship with this man. They call him Lord. Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? He will answer, I tell you the truth, when you refused to help the least of these my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. I don't say this as a shame or as a stick to whack people with. I'm just saying, here's what I take from this story. First of all, heaven sees. Heaven sees what happens. And heaven knows what's going on. Heaven's aware. And heaven records what takes place. Otherwise, how would this separation of the sheep and goats be able to happen? What I'm trying to say is heaven's paying attention to our heart, to our response. And I tell you, you know, I've been in a lot of city meetings. Jada, you can have mercy on me for that. So I can sit in these city meetings, and I hear people discuss things like, you know, they're trying to build a new food kitchen here downtown. And they're trying to get the undesirables off of the main drag, right? That's kind of the motivation. And I'm all for the new food kitchen, but I'm just telling you, some of the attitudes that come out in these meetings, it's scary. Because I think of the scripture. I know how important, massively important, this is to the heart of God. Church, I'm telling you, we are here to make a difference in this community. And here's what I want to also warn you. Because sometimes when we hear about a need, we're tempted to think, well, they're probably just going to waste it. Maybe she deserves to lose her kids. Come on now, I'm speaking truth. You know I'm telling the truth, right? We have this immediate response to judge people when we don't know anything about their circumstance. And I don't see anything in that scripture that puts conditions on who we're supposed to help. I guess the reason this matters to me so much is because I was one of those guys. If I could just let you see the home I was raised in, we didn't have a pot to pee in, literally. DFS would have taken me out of that home in a heartbeat if they'd been around. I understand the need. And church, I'm so grateful that we have a loving, giving, generous heart. Yes. But what I'm saying is, the glass isn't half empty, but what?
Could be fuller.
It could be fuller. If you're a disciple of Tim, you know the answer to that question. The glass isn't half empty, but it could be fuller. And in 2018, we are going to do more than we ever have before. Why? Because there's a need in this house. And what you do is you sow into the thing you need. So because there are needs that we can help meet, and we have the ability to do so, all it requires is receiving an email from Rhonda saying, this lady needs a baby crib. Bam, Krista finds one at Restore. We're good. You know, that's how it works. And we partner with other churches in the city. How jazzed must Jesus be about that? That we're working with Methodists and Baptists and Presbyterians and Charismatics and Pentecostals and all the other isms and ists and awesomes. That's how this is supposed to work. That would be called the church on display. We don't go to church. We are the church. And things like this and the testimony from that social worker, oh my gosh. We don't know if she's a believer, but I bet you she's closer now than she was before. I've sat in those meetings where we brought sandwiches and cookies to those social workers, and they kind of starts out as a nervous, why are you here? You know, they're kind of scared of us. And they kind of have a reason to be. But when we say we're here to serve, what can we do? I'll tell you what, Jesus will get behind that all day long. There are people in this city that are hungry, that are naked, that are without heat on a day like this. We can do something about that. That's what I'm asking you for today. The big give. And it's more than just your money. We want to put our heart behind this. Just stand to your feet this morning. Oh, this is so good. Isn't it awesome how Jesus works this together? To have Rhonda here. Let's thank Rhonda again for her amazing talent. Telling you, get that chain ready. We're going to wrap her up before she leaves the house. And Sharday, to have you back in the house today as one of our daughters of the house has been such a blessing. I love what's happening at Missouri Western. I'm so thankful you're there to represent us. It's going to be a great year, church. Great year. That's why I encourage you to come back tonight at 6:30, because this is exactly the kind of stuff we've got to be praying into. Jesus, give us wisdom. Jesus, give us strategy. Jesus, send us resources. And guess what? He will to those that use the ones they have well, right? Because to the one who has little, if he invests that wisely, the master says, aha, there's one, there's a group I can entrust with more. That's why in the face of our need, the best thing we can do is help meet the needs of others. Rhonda nailed it. That's exactly what it's about. Why don't you close your eyes and bow your head for a second. Lord, just how perfect this is. Thinking about those shepherds long ago, that they were the ones that people looked down on. And yet they were also the ones that were highly favored with a visitation from the armies of heaven. How honoring would that be to them, to those who people would, as Rhonda said earlier, walk by on the other side of the road because they're not really worthy of attention. And yet from heaven's perspective, they were so worthy of attention. Thank you, Lord God, that we have the opportunity to have a different heart, a different spirit. Lord, I pray a blessing on Rhonda and the care portal here in St. Joe. I thank you, Lord, for the unity represented by these pastors and churches working together. We just say more, Lord. Bring us more, God. And through that unity, would you allow the kingdom to be expressed and expanded? And I thank you for Sharday and for Crew. Thank you, God, that there are godly men and women on that campus that are loving and representing Jesus and discipling these students. That Jesus, you're alive and well at Missouri Western. That's awesome. We're so grateful to be as a church a part of what you're doing. So I just pray, God, that you would, Holy Spirit, just brood over this conversation we've had today. Put it in our hearts as we're approaching the Christmas season, Lord, and we're so worried about buying the gifts and getting the sales and, you know, checking off our list. And okay, so that's not evil. But Lord, I think sometimes that distracts from the real message here. that, Father, you loved us so much, and we were needy. We may not have been materially needy, but we were spiritually needy. We were enemies of yours. We were lost and without hope, and you gave the greatest gift of all when we didn't deserve it. I'm going to ask you, everybody, keep your eyes closed tight on this one, okay? Definitely don't want to be looking around. How many of you, like me, sometimes are guilty of judging people in situations when we see them and there's a need and we immediately say, man, they should have made a better decision. Maybe they deserve what they have. How many of you need to repent of that attitude today? Just let's be honest before the Lord. I mean, come on. He knows your heart anyway. Just be honest about it. Because you know what? When you're honest, when you say, okay, I'm owning that, God, then guess what he can do? He can come in and he can forgive that. He can cleanse that like we talked about earlier. He can heal that confidence that when you are obedient and you're like sensitive and tender to that move, that whisper from the Spirit, it's like, there's one I can use as my hands and feet to touch the least of these. And guess what? I just want to set you at peace. You're not responsible for their response, okay? That's not your business. Your business is to do what God directs. So Lord, thank you for those that were honest today. We do ask for forgiveness, and we say, God, would you give us a different spirit and a heart to know and to see, Lord, this city the way that you see it, to see that campus the way that you see it. Lord, I'm praying for a different spirit in St. Joseph in 2018. And I pray that this big give would just be the beginning. And Lord, as we are faithful to yield and to surrender to what matters to you.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person. We hope to see you soon.
I'm letting go of all I've known. You take your rightful place.